My psychic senses are telling me that you are spiritually curious. I'm just kidding. If you found your way here, most likely you are interested or curious about energy, the secrets of the universe, the magic of the unseen. There's a lot of conflicting information out there about how to tune into energy beings properly, how to build your intuition, how to cleanse things, yada, yada, yada. I know how overwhelming it can be, so I created a one-stop shop for all of your spiritually curious, psychic expansive self-care needs where you can build your own spiritual practice with guidance, tools, and a safe place to explore your curiosities and connect to your intuition. There's a ton of crash courses covering topics ranging from meeting your spirit guides to trance channeling to manifesting. You get distance Reiki healings for a wide range of needs, such as moving through discomfort or support stepping into a new chapter, or even help calling in creativity. Subscribers get 15% off all full price services, a monthly group Zoom hangout where the weird is our normal. There are exclusive channeling videos, expansive conversations, guided meditations, movement meditations, weekly reflections, intuitive practices, this podcast ad-free and as a video, and so much more. New content is uploaded every week, so there's constantly new stuff for you to learn from, digest, and various practices to keep you grounded in your body. And all of this, might I add, is only $7 per month. So if you're ready to align to your best self and show up as your inner being, a priceless investment in yourself, you can head over to channelwithamber.com/subscribe to give it a peek. I'll see you over there.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Hello, my friends. Welcome back to Diary of a Psychic Medium with me, Amber Amrine. Today, we have my lovely friend Michael back for another discussion. This time, we talk about transcending space and time. We discuss the physical limits or lack thereof of humankind, as well as the human nature of constantly shifting, timeline hopping, all that good stuff. And we end with a nice little oracle card reading for everybody. So that's fun. Here we go. So I had Michael on the podcast over a year ago now. Time flies. For the last episode, we had discussed time travel, shape-shifting, and energy. That was probably one of my favorite conversations on this podcast. So we are back for another conversation in a similar topic. He loves his time stuff, so that's where we went. This is a good follow-up to the last episode with Emelina. We kind of talk about some of the same topics as well as go into very different areas, so very interesting. Alrighty, so Michael Howes is a colorful light. Ever since he was a little kid, he has absolutely loved and been obsessed with traveling, time travel, nature, reading, and sharing his experiences with others. As such, he came to develop a company, Our New Energy, during a meditation where he had a vision given to him by Source and immediately knew this was one of his main purposes here on Earth. Since then, he has been passionately sharing his mission that everyone deserves a life of unfuckwithable expression, almost unbelievable amounts of fun, and an amazing community to enjoy this beautiful life with. Outside of Our New Energy, he is an avid creator, coffee, decaf, lover, dancer, cold shower enthusiast, schoolie driver, and more. Here is Michael.
I feel like I have to get myself ready for this because I have such an intuitive feeling that so many things for me, I literally just told you off recording, are going to make sense for me. So in a very selfish way, I'm super excited for this. So actually, I might as well bring that up because you spoke about it and my curiosity is like, let's speak about it now. So time jumping and time hopping, specifically in regards to Not necessarily like spirituality in the typical sense, but in a little more physical theory relating to physics. So I think you know that I have a background in science, in physics, biology, chemistry, XYZ. And there's actually this movie that I fucking love. It's called Interstellar. Have you seen it?
I have.
Okay. So, Matthew McConaughey at the end, he's a ghost, gravity, extra dimension, black hole, XYZ. And one of the theories that I have, and that I've been like staying up later, very recently, is that we as humans, or maybe as souls, can actually, transcend time more and then just like a mental way, which is like you remember a memory, you've obviously transcended time because you're living in the past, quote, living. But if, oh my God, my imagination is just like 30 different ways right now. So, okay, and I try to stay on one topic. If we can find a way that we can use our physical stuff here, so like a sweatshirt is physical rather than like a thought isn't really, well, it is physical, but like it's not super physical. If we can find a way to use physical things here to like, because I'd love to talk about the mental part, but I know like we've already done that, so I want to talk more about the physical part, at least right now. If we can find a way to physically transcend time, which I believe I already have, it's just a matter of like building that. We can find a way to like connect with these beings. So we may be able to physically like change our role, like just as being human beings here, and be able to like expand into more. I am curious what you think about it.
The important thing to keep in mind is everything starts with the energetic. Because we're in the physical, we get very hung up on the physical. But one thing that I've noticed that tends to be a major block for some people in regards to like astral projecting and timeline hopping and stuff like that is the fact that they are so grounded in the physical. The physical is what is malleable. The physical is what is shifting. It's like a hologram, essentially. You know,
My
and we,
question, I have a question actually before, because I'm someone who used to like, oh my God, Esty could attest to this. I hated the word grounding and grounded. Like I had such a, I fucking hated those words. But now,
Interesting.
when I think about like, I know. But now, like, okay, one of my grounding practices is I write, but I don't know if you mean it in the same way I'm about to say it, so I'm asking. When I feel grounded, I actually feel physically and obviously energetically. I feel like if something is physical, energetically, like it's same thing is already applied because it starts in the energetic. So obviously energetically I feel this way. Physically, I literally feel lighter. Like when I'm grounded, I don't know if this is like, well, it is right because I feel this way, but I don't know how common it is or if it is like what grounded actually is. But when I am grounded, my legs, my body, my being actually feels like that's when I can do, that's when I can actually astral project rather than if I'm not grounded.
Yeah, if you're not, well, I think that's a different, I guess, definition of grounded than what I'm using.
Okay.
Because that's the literal like grounding, connecting to the earth. When you connect to earth's energy, it's very nourishing. So there's a lot of heavy energies, stagnant energies that are released, and you're like plugging yourself into a, I don't know, like a vitamin, you know? So any areas in you that feel heavy will naturally be worked through, which is why grounding is so important. And even with people with certain medical conditions, it actually is recommended. They call it earthing more in like the medical field, but putting your feet or your skin on like earth, you know, it's like there's it releases free radicals. There's literal there's a literal thing happening, you know, more so, well, in addition to the energetic, but that's why you will feel lighter, because there's literally a release or a neutralizing of sorts, you know? The way that I'm, I guess, meaning it right now is like, I mean more like anchored down. So it is, in essence, the same thing, but I'm using a different definition of it, I guess, where I'm
would
not.
Would you say it's like still? Is that like you're still?
Established, manifested.
Okay. Yeah, I get that.
Everything starts with the energetic. And when people, the people that get hung up on this, on the ability to like astral travel or timeline hop, they're too connected to the physical. They're too attached to it, when the physical is a result of the energetic. We are the program, and the what is around us is essentially the desktop that we've designed from the program. You know what I'm saying? So in order to hop around and stuff, there are things that you can do. It's very similar to lucid dreaming, where when you lucid dream, there is one method where you choose a specific item or object that kind of tells you that you're dreaming, or it just kind of connects you back to reality, or that like, oh, okay, this isn't real life. But when you're timeline hopping, you can use something similar to that, where you set an item so that when you see that, that's a sign to you that you're in the process of like transitioning, or you just hopped, like a red car or a specific sweatshirt or something. You can have those symbols to connect to things. The issue is, because the desktop, our reality currently, is a result of the program, if we are hopping to another timeline, I mean, there are an infinite number of timelines, so it could be one in which you did choose to wear that sweatshirt in the morning, but you could also connect to one where you never even bought that sweatshirt to begin with. And depending on what your intention is and where you want to go, sometimes staying attached to something on the desktop, like a file or something, prevents you from downloading new software or rebooting the system, you know?
Yeah, so this is where one of the biggest questions I have, and I know I have the answer to it, but it's like not, something's like not clicking, is so let's say you take this version of Michael, who, for the people who can't see, is wearing a maroon Weymouth sweatshirt. And he timeline jumps from, let's say, the sweatshirt is timeline one to timeline two. No sweatshirt. He never even bought the sweatshirt. So you're changing the desktop, but my programming has not shifted. So, or has it? So my question is, me or my consciousness or the mind or all the above goes from timeline one to timeline two. Does the memory of even having a sweatshirt go with me, or does it get deleted?
It will get deleted. So what this is just in my experience. So there can be other experiences. This is just what I've seen and in talking to people. What typically happens for me personally when I timeline hop is I almost have this like amnesia. I don't really remember what happened the past week. My memory is fuzzy. My perception of time is a little bit off and skewed. So I already don't have a full awareness of what's going on and what's happening. The way that I personally work, because I am so like embodiment based, I move through like feeling and physical sensation. It's almost like I shift to a new character and follow their path or become them. I kind of mesh with them. It's like in acting, you know, it's like becoming a character essentially. So that is my method of timeline hopping, rather than, I guess, me taking a place of something. It's like, in order for me to take the place and keep going, I need to be that character. It's a different past, a different present, you know? So if I align to that, things are naturally going to shift. If I wanted to move back to the one that I came from, I can do that. I have some sort of awareness that, okay, I just timeline hopped where I came from. Not really sure where I am. Not really sure. It's still really fuzzy. Things are kind of weird, but here I am. I know if I wanted to go back, I could. So there, it's kind of like split, you know?
My idea was like, oh, I've never timeline hopped. But then after hearing you say that and really genuinely like taking that in, it's like, oh my God. I remember when I've had times where my memory, I was like, wait, what day is today? Like, not because I just like didn't know, but because I was actually like relatively confused about the day where I was XYZ. So that feels really comforting to hear. Another thing, I know you and I have spoken about this before, but this new idea came up. We spoke about how one of the experiences I've had was when I was walking along a street, I was like walking on a different world. I was walking on like a different beach. I've had a few experiences like that where, like, this one was a very fun one. This is pretty much the same one. One of my past lives, I loved to walk barefoot. And so now, obviously, I still love to walk barefoot. And I walk barefoot on pavement, on grass, grounding, XYZ. And I was walking on the pavement barefoot, and I literally like felt water, like not just like water on the pavement, but like beach water on my feet. And my feet were like not wet with water, but they felt like sandy and wet. And that experience to me is like unquestionable. It happened, I felt it, I experienced it. Now, the next step for me that I would love to take, without like becoming someone who's like, I need this to happen completely physically, is like, I'd love to have that be like my entire leg or my entire lower half of my body now, with whatever it is. So one of the things an idea that came to me while you're speaking was like, what would it be like? Like, yeah, time hopping is beautiful. What about like world hopping without choosing a different timeline? Like, I go from like Earth to Jupiter, or then Jupiter to like a different galaxy, but I don't know if that changes time. But like, let's just presume it doesn't.
That would be more astral travel and like
Okay.
bilocating. Because
Okay.
if you were to, a couple of things. If you were to like physically become part of that planet or something on that planet, you can't go as a human or with human awareness because our body isn't made for that environment. You know what I'm saying? It would be more of like an energetic thing. You can't like travel there physically
What is
necessarily.
your, okay, what's your take or opinion on, oh God, what is your take and opinion on humans, whether it's with like AI or just technology outside of AI or both combined or neither? What's your opinion on humans being able to, because one of our qualities as human beings, like the body, is it's very adaptable. Like you, I don't know, like cold showers, like your body gets used to them so you can take longer. Like you lift weights, your body gets used to it so you grow muscle. We're adaptable. What's your, like, obviously we drink wine, maybe we don't like it, and then we start to like the taste, we get used to it. What's your take on the human body on, say, Mars or different planets? Because you just mentioned it, like that we're not designed, but could we slowly expose ourselves to it? Or is it like,
I feel like, I mean, I suppose we could, but I feel like it would take a long time. Because
okay.
evolution takes a long time,
Okay, that's fair.
you know? And it's just the amount of like oxygen we require and the things that we require. It would take a long time and a lot of exposure to build a resistance, you know, in order to be able to handle other things, but also there's just a lot of pressure. The pressure is a lot different and it just can fuck us up. So I suppose there is a possibility for us to you know, grow some resistance to it, but I do feel, I mean, it would take so long. It would take so long. I feel like there are ETs even that do have like bodies or like suits. I don't know, it's like skin that they use when traveling through the universe because their bodies are so delicate. You know what I'm saying? So I don't necessarily feel like everything is meant to be so malleable. There are strengths in what we have and a reason we have that. And we can just add to it to improve it and allow us to have more range in what we are capable of doing. But I don't feel like that means it needs to be like let go, you know?
I see. I've never thought about it like that, like having strengths. That feels true. And I actually I fucking love that. One of the things that like I'm thinking about is what is so the subconscious mind is like, this is how I view it. You have human beings have two obviously infinite gifts. But if I were to narrow it down to two, we have the heart and the mind. Like we are not either, like we're both, but we're also like more than that. So we have a heart and we have a mind. The heart is our bridge between so many things. Our heart is courage, it's love, it's like amazing. The mind is kind of like a paintbrush, and it's also the painting. And so I'm explaining this all because the subconscious mind, I like this is my view on it. So for my desktop, this makes sense. The subconscious mind is two things. Number one, it's infinite intelligence. Everything, like it's collective consciousness, it has every collective consciousness in it of human beings, of every spirit, of everything. Every time, every timeline, XYZ. And then also, it's a sponge that knows nothing. And you, like, the way that you program your subconscious mind is you say, I'm love, or I am not love, I'm not. And then it's like, you know what? You said this so many times. I'm gonna start to believe it and manifest it. So it's both things. Like my question that frankly I may devote my entire life to is like literally what is the limit of the subconscious mind's capability to have the entire human experience adapt? Meaning, like at what level can I tell, and therefore my subconscious like carries it out, carries out the instruction, my subconscious mind that my body can survive this. Could I like, or in like what level is it like, no, it actually can't? Or is there any limit at all? Like, could I tell my subconscious mind, hey, you can go in a black hole and come out the other side and go back in time 4,000 years so many times that it actually believes that and that's what happens? Or is it like, no, you can't, that's not possible, no human being can do that, don't even try. Like, that's the limit.
That's a
Like,
good question. I
yeah.
feel like that is where it gets tricky because it's like technically when we die, our bodies are gone, but our mind isn't, or our soul, that life force information pod,
By
whatever, you know,
pause, yeah.
it doesn't go anywhere and it just like reabsorbs into source energy. So technically, we already are beyond all. And I guess the key to that is understanding that the physical is like there's more to it, and like tuning into the nuances, the subtleties between cells and between things, and you know, being able to flow through that. I feel like, I mean, all of our cells too have their own consciousness, and you can talk to your cells to, you know, strengthen them and stuff like that. That's a good question. I don't know the limits, I guess, because there are so many things of like impossible situations happening. I remember there is a story that I had heard when I was going to the spiritual center when I was a teenager. There was somebody that had this crazy experience where they said they were driving their car. And this other car like ran a red or something, and they literally saw the other car and the person like go through their car, and they literally like looked at each other as the cars were like passing, and nobody was hurt and there was no damage. So it's like stuff like that where it's like, what? What just happened?
Whoa.
Your car just went through my car. I saw you. We looked at each other, and then it just came out and we're fine. So I feel like the way around that would be to like, it's like moving into the energetic and that space in between cells, or the space in between matter, you know, and like moving through it instead of crashing, being able to slip
True.
Yeah, that word, exactly. Oh my God. So another background. I know I touched on it earlier. Another part of my background is I was very naturally good at math, but I just didn't like it. So like my mind is like very, right now at least, because we're more on physical than usual at least, on like numbers and math and theories and science, or at least like physical science. And it's like, there's this beautiful math thing that's like there is it's a proof, which means like it's been proven to be true, like factual. And that's there are more numbers between 0 and 1 than from 0 to infinity. And
Wow.
I don't
That
know,
makes
like
sense.
I wish I understood, because to me I don't get that. Obviously you do, but like I mean, like partly, like you could go 0.01, 0.001. You could go on and on forever, so maybe. But like, anyways, my mind is like, okay, 1,000 is like the frequency of love. 100 is like the frequency of like bitterness. 600 is like, I don't know, gratitude or something, like confidence, whatever it is. Like you could go 600.1, and you have such a different experience. If you're in touch with the feelings, the embodiment, like you said earlier, that you have, that there's literally, in a mathematically proven way, infinite realities at any time that you can live. And so naturally, now my mind's like, well, if that's the case mathematically, and if human beings have been proven, well, I don't know if this is proven, but like to me it is, because like I'm not going to say I know better, but I trust my experience that we have, and we are really just like frequencies. Then, okay, so it's been proven that there's infinite frequencies. So I'm a frequency. So there's infinite me's. Then the thing that follows is obviously there's infinite places, because places are also frequencies. Then all that together is there's infinite me's and infinite places. And then the last thing is, well, if there's infinite me's and infinite places, and I'm the one able to, say, influence my frequency, then if I change my frequency, I can change it to the frequency of me, a different me at a different place, and become that me. The only question I have is like, if I change mine, will he change his? And so I won't like become him, or like I'll just still be me changing a frequency.
Timelines merging.
Okay. Oh my God,
A
I'm
couple things with that. There is still that timeline. So if you have the decision that I want to change a little bit to that version of you, there's also other timelines of you saying, eh, I don't think so, and then just go down that way. There is timeline overlapping that can happen, which is typically when like deja vu can come in. A lot of synchronicity will happen at once, or just a sense of familiarity. When things are combining and starting to fuse together, there's just this like merging of memories, and it's like, wait a second, this seems familiar.
Have you ever seen The Giver, the movie The Giver?
I have not.
Oh, okay. Then I'll summarize. The whole movie is about a society of humans. Essentially, they don't have any memory of the past. They have memories, but when life was normal, which is like how life is right now, like people experience pain and pleasure, they don't have memories of that, and they essentially are like almost as close to robots as you can be, but they have little feelings. Everything's in black and white. They go about their day, they just do what they're told, XYZ. And there is this person called the giver and the receiver. And the giver keeps all the memories of war, famine, of love, of dancing, of color, of taste, XYZ. And he gives it to the receiver. The giver dies, the receiver becomes a giver, and the cycle repeats. Now, the end of the movie is when the receiver decides to go past the boundary. So all his memories of what life is like comes flooding back to the village. Everyone remembers what war is like, famine, colors are like outside is like XYZ. Everything is like. Now my thing about this is, what if it's actually the same with us, just not in like that way, because obviously we know what auras like, we know what colors are like, we know what apples taste like, we know what technology feels like, we know what nature is like, obviously. But what if there's things that like someone, I mean, like, what if there's a collective out there? What if there's just like one human being who's like the receiver that we are in our like truth, like, for example, able to fly? That could be wrong, but it's just an example. But like, we don't think we can, but like, we're actually able to. And someone out there knows it and has experienced it, but they are not allowed for some reason to tell us because, I don't know, maybe the implications are that like it would lead to like humans like killing each other or something, or like we're just not ready for it yet. Because like really, when I was probably like 20, I remember, or maybe no, like 22 really, but it feels like so long ago. I remember saying like the thing that I want to know best in my life is, I remember saying I want to know God. What I meant by that is I want to know like, not like by testing the universe, being like, oh, you can save me if I do this stupid thing, but being like, how powerful am I really? And being like that's my life question right there. Like, what is the limit of the subconscious mind? And like, can I really do without being like stupid? And I'm not gonna get into what that entails because that's a whole rabbit hole. But like, what really can I do here on this earth, or even not even on this earth? What is my limit? And do I even have one? And there's this beautiful quote, I don't remember it, but I'll paraphrase it as best as I can. It's like, there were two ways that I could live. One of which is I didn't believe in anything and got to the end of my life with regret. Second is I believed it all and got to the end of my life and was wrong, but had a better life. Which way would I rather live? Obviously the second. Like, that's kind of my philosophy right there, which is like, I want to believe all this stuff, and I do to a large degree. Obviously, I'm still believing more and more every day. Like, really, what is the limit time-wise, space-wise, energetic and physical travel-wise that I can really experience in any level, energetic or physical, or maybe even another level we don't even know of yet as a human being?
It reminds me of the in Mean Girls, the limit does not exist. That's what I was thinking. I feel like our okay,
Have you
so
ever
inter
seen the have you ever seen the movie, I'm like quoting so many movies today. This is different. This is really different. Have you ever, and I'm also noticing when I ask people if they've seen something, I go, have you ever seen? So I'm gonna change that. Have you watched the movie Everything Everywhere All at Once?
I've not.
Okay. Highly recommend it. This girl is able to time travel, also timeline hop anytime to any universe she wants, and is literally able to bend reality. So like, her finger can become a baseball bat or a pinata or a notebook, because she's so connected with the belief that like life is an illusion, it's just what you see. Like, that's what I mean. Like could I really, do you remember when they spoke about the couch? I forget what it was about, but okay. What was it like, if you wanted to just manifest a couch or something? It's something like that. I'm like really wondering if I could. I mean, there's a classical biblical story, Jesus changing water into wine. Like, if I could change this kombucha bottle into like a cup of coffee by just being like, oh, and it changes.
I feel like okay, a couple things. Let me actually write this down so I don't forget any of what I want to say. Okay, first thing, so going back to flying, what's interesting is this is actually something Rashad and I have spoken a lot about because he has had many dreams where he could fly. And I've had dreams as well. When I was a kid, I thought I was able to fly and I would try to practice by jumping off of things that weren't too high. So just in case I didn't break my legs.
But there's been this consistent thing of like flying specifically with us, and this sense of like there's more out there, there's more that we're able to do but we can't. And I think a big thing that I've learned, so I've just put out a couple podcast episodes about breaking out of the matrix, and I'm in a phase right now where I have like released the need to appease authority or listen to authority. I feel like I am fully making my own rules and settling into like who I am and what I want that to look like in a much deeper way. And in the process of getting there, I noticed that I was feeling scared, like scared of myself. Cause it's like, if I give myself a lot of power where authority is not applicable to me, or I follow my own rules kind of thing. What is that? It's almost like this fear that I'm going to become this like crazy person or something, when it's like, no, I need to trust myself. From a young age, we are taught, these are the rules. This is what you can and can't do. These are the limits, whatever. There's such a fear of the unknown and what the opposite is, where it's like, oh, if somebody doesn't follow the rules, they're in jail, they're in prison, they're psychotic or whatever, you know? So it's like, oh no, if I relinquish the control that I have, the rules that I've been told apply to me and apply to my environment, I'm going to become crazy and psycho and whatever. And I feel like coming to terms with that, if you look at somebody like Jesus, for example, turning water into wine, if somebody just whipped that trick out here, it would freak people out. Some people would probably think it's cool, but people would freak the fuck out. Like, you know what I'm saying? There's like a lot of stuff going on. It's like, what is this? Black magic, or like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's going to scare people. It's out of the norm. But I feel like if you allow yourself to make the rules and be weird and just do your thing and like find your limits, and the more that we all do that together, I feel like it's just going to increase that momentum collectively, where we can start exploring the limits. Because you can't, it's like with exercising, you don't know how strong you can get unless you try. And it takes time. It takes like building that muscle and understanding like subtle shifts in positioning or whatever, you know. But the more you do it, the more you understand it. And I feel like exercise is a great analogy, actually, because one thing with energetic stuff is people get really frustrated if it doesn't happen quick. We're in an age right now where there's immediate gratification, immediate results, immediate responses. Like everything is so fast. When we come into our body and into like the deep parts of our psychology and just what makes us up, a lot of how we operate is very like caveman stuff. There's a lot of like old ancient information running through our body, and that stuff takes time. In order to actively bring all of your body online, you have to be with it and move with it, you know, instead of rushing it or pushing it. Because when we rush and push, we start to overlook or overhear, or it just, there's a lot of information that is trying to be given to us, and we're moving too fast to even be able to catch it. So
can you wait, but can you actually specify to me what overhear means?
I just mean like overlook, like over, I don't know what the right word was.
I feel like there's some like real, obviously real truth, but like there's something about that I'm supposed to learn. Because like I've never, you know, when you hear a word that makes you understand your experience, that's the word for me. Like I told you outside of this podcast that I can see a lot of different futures, and one of the ways I connect or know a future is I hear it, like literally hear it. But like when I hear three different things and all of them feel true, but one of them happens, like that's what that word feels like to me. Like I'm overhearing.
I was thinking like the word overlook, you know, when you like miss something. But then I was thinking if you oversee means to like look over, which is weird because I would have thought the definitions of those words would be the same. So I would use that for over here, gotcha. But then it was like, well, sometimes over here means like hearing stuff you're not supposed to hear. So I don't think that was the right word, but in my head, I just like whooped it out of my butt. But yeah, the sense of like just missing, you know, like looking in the far distance instead of what's in front of you. You know, when you look in the far distance, you take in a much larger piece of land in a shorter time than if you like look at what's in front of you. Here it's just a few inches. If I put it out like a few miles, then that's like a long distance. So we need to kind of slow down to connect to our ancient information and like all of that stuff. I'm not even sure what our limits are, but I'm definitely of the belief that we can do whatever we want. If you can see it or feel it, that exists somewhere. Mm-hmm. That is a real experience that you're connecting to. So in my head, it's like, it's got to be possible. There's work that needs to be done in order to do that. And it all starts with our programming, you know, it all starts with our head. I think one thing that's also made me really, I guess, reconsider everything. I don't know if I told you this. I think I've spoken about it on the podcast. I know I've done it in the subscription, but there was a period where I had, what was going on? Oh, I think my ear had gotten injured. So I had gone to like urgent care and I got a prescription for something at a CVS. And when I was walking out of a CVS, there was a future version of me sitting in front of me and smiling at me. And I was like, what the fuck? It was like literally me, but her hair was longer and her hair was darker. But I want to say maybe she was like 32 or so, 33. So not far off from how old I am. I'm turning 30 in June. I think at the time, maybe this was just last year. So it was like 29 or 28 or something like that. So she wasn't far off from me. And I remember walking and I smiled at her. And then I was like, wait a second. Wait, what the fuck did I just see? So I did like a double take. And she was staring at me as I exited and she smiled at me. And then I think she like looked down at something, I don't know, but I was like, what the hell was that? And I ran to the car and then I drove out cause I wanted to see her again. Just to, like, was that, did I just see that for reals? And in her place, there was this like tall black man. And I looked up and down the street, like trying to see like, oh, if she left and was walking, and I didn't see her anywhere. Yeah, it was really interesting. What's interesting too is my boyfriend is a tall black man, so I feel like I don't know. It wasn't him at all, but his energy is very protective of me. Anytime there's any kind of shift or something, I always feel his energy. So it was also kind of coincidental that you know. But yeah, it was very weird.
Wow.
So that's also changed my perception of stuff too, where it's like, okay, I feel like I'm going to figure out how to physically enter timelines. I'm not there yet, but I just saw it. So Amber's there doing that somewhere, sometime, you know?
See, what's so interesting to me about that is that like you had a physical experience that of something you saw with your eyes. And like, I don't know if you smelled, like if she was wearing perfume or like you smelled something, or I mean, she didn't say anything to you, but yeah. You saw her smile. So that's obviously physical. There's a scientist out there who is now like I don't love this term, but I recognize like the definition of it will help explain him. He's a new age scientist. And Dr. Joe Dispenza, one of the things he says is that the brain is a collection of like all your memories. He says something close to that. So my mind goes to, when I hear you say that, like if technology, like physical technology, specifically regarding to neuroscience, became better, we would literally be able to see like, kind of, I got another, jeez, man, all these movie references. This is like so interesting. Okay, I'm gonna ask, have you seen Inside Out?
I've not.
Okay. So the memories you put on, like just like a movie with a projector, you put a memory on a projector and it projects it onto the brain. So like if you could, our technology becomes better, we can go into people's brains. That sounds like so like not perverted, but like intense. So yeah, we could go into people's brains and like see, like, oh my God, this specific I'll call it like wiring in your brain is like this specific memory that you had. And then one step further, what I said earlier, we could go somehow, I have no idea yet how, go into people's subconscious brains and be like, holy shit, like your specific subconscious mind is telling you, and is showing us the movie on the projector that actually you can fly, and here's exactly how it's telling you can do that. All that to me is so interesting because once you have an experience like that, or like deja vus that you know I've had and you've had so many of, I'm sure like so many other people have too, like you can't forget that. Well, like you can, but like you can't permanently forget it. Once you have an experience, like there's no such thing as permanently forgetting it. I mean, there is in another universe, so like there is, but there's also like not, and
Yeah,
that's
it's
the
like
weird
a
duality.
critical moment that like sticks in. What's
Exactly.
interesting about memories, actually, and I'm glad you brought this up, memories are meant to change. So how we recall information will literally change every time you try to think about it. And what's interesting is it can change depending on your environment. If you're feeling good in your environment or you're with somebody, the way that you recall your memory will be emphasizing certain qualities that kind of correspond with where you're currently at or what you're currently feeling. And that being the case too, you can even plant in false memories from somebody just by drawing on things that are familiar. For example, I was listening to a podcast actually about this, and there was a guy. I think it's like three brothers or something. And two of the brothers totally made up the situation to the third and was saying like, oh, remember when we were a kid and you, I don't know, were riding your bike in the mall and then you fell and then you were lost. And then they had to like call your name over the thing and mom had to get you. And they're both like, oh yeah, I remember whatever. So because these two people were feeding information in, kind of taking things from situations that seemed familiar or like probable, the other brother was like, oh, I remember that. And then this happened, and then that happened, when all of it was completely made up. So our brains, and I don't remember, I don't know exactly what happens, but I know in studies they've done on the brain when recalling information, like there are literal things that are changing. It's not like replaying an old movie or something like that. It will literally change every time you recall it. And I feel like that also coincides with how malleable timelines are, because we're constantly shifting, and as we heal the past. So memories and situations from the past can literally change, and the way that you associate with them can literally change as you heal, you know?
I'm gonna go off the very last thing you said. First of all, I agree with all that. What if, and obviously, like everything we say, like there's a universe out there where this is true, and there's, I mean, infinite, and then there's infinite universes out there where this is not true, and that's the beauty of it all. What if, so, but like when I say this, I'm referring to like our specific timeline. What if there was no past to heal from? And that's only an idea. Like that's obviously that's true, but like what I like, you know, I love questions. So two of the questions I'd love to ask, and I actually asked Essie this first one last night, was like, what would you do without thought? If you just had to do something, what would you do? No thought involved, like just do something. And the second thing is like, what would we genuinely do? Because all I think all of people's resentment, which creates separateness in a bad way at least, is from the past, what they've experienced. So what on earth would life look like if there was no past to heal from? Whether it's like the past doesn't exist, which like obviously it doesn't, but like even as a concept it doesn't exist, or like everything from the past was already healed. Like what would we do then? That's so interesting to me, because another theory I have is like, let's say there's three stages of human evolution. You have one, you can call it the ego phase, like overcoming problems, learning how to problem solve, stage one. Stage two, you can call it like awakened, like learning how to care for and make better. This specifically, like there's nothing wrong in this stage. You're just learning how to take something from good to great. And there's nothing wrong with good. It's like from bad to good, and then from good to great. And then stage three is like learning how to like my mind can't even fathom it, because I don't know what's beyond like great or even good. Like I'm just using the divide to explain the
Yeah.
second concept, which is like that's where I'm interested, because I don't want to say this actually, so I won't change it. Sometimes I buy into the idea that like my problems are like so hard, they're gonna take so long to solve, they require so much energy. And then kind of full circle moment, when I just let go of the need for them to change, it's like I'm like vibrating as an archangel. Like literally, like the solution will appear like that. Like once I let go, it's just like bam. Oh, really? That's simple. So like I know that stage one is like, oh, hi, everyone, is easy to overcome. Like stage two, like what if there was no past to heal from? Like literally, like I've had moments, I'm sure you have, where we felt on top of the world, physically and energetically. Like, but what if there was actually no past? Even as a concept that doesn't exist, like what would we then do?
One of my favorite practices, whenever I'm feeling like overwhelmed or a little bit like self-conscious or whatever, is to ask myself, if I was just born like into my body today, I had no knowledge, no understanding of my past, what would I do? And it changes so much the way that I approach decisions, because you're not carrying the baggage of your lifetime. If you just came in with the information you have and was like told to like, okay, finish the day out, you know? It's like there's so much more freedom and flexibility to do stuff because you're not concerned about all of that excess noise and things like that. I feel like because I think society is so fear-based right now and so I don't know. I feel like it's like we're stuck in a victim mentality.
Yeah, 1,000%.
Yeah, it causes that need to have to heal, you know, or like do something instead of moving through understanding like the deeper connections and deeper implications and how we can grow and stuff like that. So I feel like it'll be really interesting to see collectively as we keep increasing in frequency. How we all shift that, because there's already so much change in behavior, you know, and just the way that we approach healing and just approach life, you know. And again, with like evolution, or as each generation comes, there's like a new way of approaching the world, you know, and it'll just be interesting to see how that momentum continues to build. Because I feel like, yeah, I mean, the root of most issues is being stuck in the past or having past things haunt you or past experiences that are unhealed just kind of coming out, you know. And if we could just be in the moment, things would be so different. And I feel like we would really understand our power and get closer to the potential limits or no limits that we have, you know, because we aren't operating out of fear. Out of fear of judgment, out of fear of abandonment, out of fear of punishment. You know, we just have the freedom to be.
Feel like in order for all of, especially the freedom to be, to happen, I feel like we need to come together. It's like number one, obviously there are leaders. So like people 2,000 years ago were teaching what we're talking about. But the percentage of people who were listening then compared to now was much smaller. Like now maybe 1% of the human population understands. Maybe back then it was like, I don't know, 0.5% or a tenth of a percent. So like as species we've grown. But my thinking is like the only thing we gotta do is like obviously follow the right leaders and become leaders, like just come together. Once like we stop resisting, I've just like really convinced myself of this. If and I have, so I mean not all the time, but like imperfectly I do it. If we could stop trying to like go away from problems and start going towards them, stop going away from feelings and start go towards them, stop resisting, accept and like do something or just be in it, like everything would change, like absolutely everything. And the process has already started. It's just a matter of the exponential growth of it. And I really think like kind of this isn't fully accurate, but it's closer than I've ever been in terms of what I've expressed. I feel like if there is, and I presume there is, whether it's whoever, whatever it's called, if there is like a creator of the universe, and we are also the creator, how would they create us? Would they say, we're going to give you the ability to do everything you want on your own? Or we're going to say, what they'll say, we're going to give you the ability to do a lot on your own, but in order for you to do everything, you all need to come together first. And I feel like the second way is like what they did. Like, you can do a lot on your own, but you can't do everything on your own. You need to come together. So, until human beings come together, like what I said earlier about like there's a collective out there preventing us from flying, for example, like in order for us to get permission to that, we need to first all come together in order for that to happen.
I always felt like collectively we're moving into a place, and I guess this is like in 5D consciousness or whatever, but it feels like we're going into a place where there is more. It feels like an ET collective. ET collectives, not, I mean, there's an infinite amount, but typically there's this sense of them all kind of, their range of emotions is a lot more balanced. It's a lot smaller. Everybody's kind of on the same page. Like, it's just a lot more simplified and like, they're just all kind of in the same tune, in the same frequency. Obviously, here we experience a full range of emotions for a reason. There's more accessible to us. We are able to literally like be God in a sense that we are constantly creating our own worlds and our own realities, and like we have the ability to create and make and shift and change and but I do feel like we're moving into a place where we're all going to be more aware of the collective and able to just tune in and like help neutralize things, and just be like fellow humans instead of there being like, oh, I'm part of this group. Fuck you. I don't know. Just weird stuff. There's a podcast I was listening to about like ancient civilizations, and there's so much good wisdom and like information and Jesus, even like architectural stuff that we can't even understand today. It's so crazy. There's I guess, and I might be butchering this, but going off of memory, which changes every time you recall it. I guess the Amazon, you can't fertilize it to grow crops or something like that. Like there's something about it. It's like you can't just grow normal stuff there. But apparently there's some sort of like ancient civilization that had figured out a way to mix. They don't even know what. It's like clay, dirt, and like some other stuff in order to make farms so that they could have produce or grow foods for their civilization. And to this day, that land is still fertilized. It still has the like clay and the whatever able to grow things. But scientists nowadays can't figure out how to fertilize the Amazon. There's just stuff like that. It's so interesting. Or even like the pyramids. How do you even go about doing this, you know? And I think we tend to just be like, oh, primitive, or like, oh, you know, just throw the past, like, oh, they're stupid. But it's like, no, there's so much information available. And I feel like a big part of that is because they were working with the land. They were connected to the information in the earth itself. Because there's, again, like you were saying, there's only so much we can take just from ourselves. We need to plug into the greater whole and understand the value of other people, of the planet, of the stone, of the whatever. It holds information itself. And when you work with it, you know, there's like magic happens. We got to come together. Yeah. I love
that so much. There's this theory, not theory, there's actually four states of humans. You have a to you, a for you, a through you, and an as you. So life is happening to me, I'm a victim. Life is happening for me, the universe loves me. Life is happening through me, the universe wants me to speak this message out. And then life is happening as me, I am the universe, I am one. And I feel like, where I really believe with what you just said and the wisdom that like a lot of these older, not collectives, these older groups of human beings and the earth and other collectives, like if we, or really as we just let them speak through us, or like we connect with their consciousness, or we physically meet them and have a physical conversation with them, and obviously they leave an impact. Like we take a piece of them either with us, or there's a piece of them that's operating through us, as us. Like that's gonna help us grow a lot. And I used to not understand this, but like now it's really dawned on me. Like 7 days, I don't know, within the last week, I had a moment, a real aha moment, where I was like, arrogance really is just fear disguised. Like it so is. And I really think, and I'm saying this from my own experience, that like human beings as a whole, not everyone, not you, not me, but we're also imperfect, are so arrogant about like older civilizations, like you said, like haha, primitive. Like they're fucking smart as hell. Like very intelligent. Like one of the things I love and also internalized recently too was like older civilizations did not see themselves as like, oh, this environment takes care of me. They see it as they take care of the environment. And because they do, the environment gives back to them. And that mindset alone, if more people employed it, would completely change like Earth, human beings, life. And I was going to ask you this earlier, and I forgot it, but it came back now. At what point is it, even if there is a point, because to a degree, and I don't know if it's 100%, I would love to know if you think it's 100% or if it's less. What you see in others is what you see in yourself. So do you think that's like 100%? Like if I saw you as a girl, does that mean I am girl? Like black and white? Or like, so to what degree is that true? Or like percentage? And then off that, like if we keep telling ourselves that society is like victimized, are we also seeing ourselves as victimized? Like to what degree are we, without being like crazy here, since we are the creators of our lives, are we fully responsible for like everything, or are we not?
I say 100%. So this is how I view things. And what's interesting too, is if you ask different people how they view the world, people will have very different answers. There's a clip in my, the Breaking the Matrix Part 2 podcast. I played it for a piece, but it's with your friend Tony Robbins and Theo Vaughn. But he was basically,
oh, I love Theo Vaughn. Theo,
he told him to look around and look for anything brown in your environment. Are you familiar with that?
Yes.
Okay. And then he looks, and then it's like, okay, what about red? You know, I'll just paraphrase for people that didn't see that podcast episode, but he said, look around at all the brown things. And he's like, okay. And looking for the brown things, you probably didn't notice any of the red things, did you? And he's like, no, you know, because you're just looking for the brown. He's like, okay, now look around and look for the red things. And he's like, okay, got them. And he's like, okay, I'm sure you kind of stretched a little bit and you made the magenta like actually red when it's actually magenta, or like something pink, you know, maybe it's like, he's like, yeah. And he's saying how if we look for something, we're going to find that, like, that is going to be the hyper focus, and we're going to bend things to fit what we're looking for. So if we look for victimization, you can name off a million things. If you look for healing, you can name off a million things and a million examples, and they all kind of intertwine and bend and morph. I feel like it's like being a lawyer almost, where you're like, quote unquote, bending the truth in a sense, you know, to appease your beliefs. The way that I view the world, and I found this through, this came as a serious revelation to me and has really changed my life. I view everything, it's basically like I'm dreaming. So everybody and everything that I encounter is a fragment of my subconscious. Like attracts like. So everything around you, everything you are exposed to, everything you are engaged with, there is some piece of it that is active within you. So if somebody, for example, for you, if we're talking right now, I just view me as speaking, I view you at what? I just don't so. When I'm speaking to you, I view you as a different part of me. I'm just speaking to a very active or specific part of my being, you know, and we're just kind of exchanging information together. We are all masculine and feminine intertwined. So there are masculine aspects of me, and maybe those are more in the science area. And I want us to like brainstorm and think, you know what I'm saying? But in the world too, it's like how you view the world is a direct reflection of who you are. And I like asking people actually how they view the world and how they engage with it, because it really tells what they're going through and how they're feeling, you know, because it changes all the time. My dad will get into a place where he's like, I hate humans, like everything's fucked and like whatever, and it's like, are you okay? Do you need to talk? You know, because I have a very different view on the world, you know, but it's a reflection of how you're feeling.
What would you keep if you only had one thing? What would you keep the same about the world? And likewise, if you only had one thing, what would you change about the world?
I mean, what would I keep? It's a hard question. So coming from how I view the world, I mean, I feel like things are balancing out. Okay, I'm going to try not, because I start analyzing myself to figure out like what I want, and I'm going to try not to keep it in myself and like expand it, so I don't get the messages convoluted. I feel like things are balancing out. A lot of things that were wrong or are wrong, there's a lot more awareness. I think we're already shifting into a place of like leaning into the discomfort, because if there's war or famine or something, there's a lot more awareness and a lot more people like talking about it. I feel like we're really starting to go into the seed and the root of the issue, and we're like trying to solve it together, you know, or like come together as people, which is really cool. It's not perfect, but I feel like we're definitely on our way. And I think the overall design of the world is genius in terms of us just like having to come together. There's all these like, I mean, it's hard because there's so many layers to it, but like from a metaphysical perspective, there's like so much information in your environment. So anytime you feel lost, there's always an answer around you. You know what I'm saying? Like it's like a book, like you're constantly walking in a story where there's so much information around and so much you can like use and draw from and like redesign, and then your environment changes. Like, you can even walk into a new room and it's like the story changes. You know what I'm saying? It's just so cool. It's such a good design. That's what I would keep. I think we're moving into a good place. And I feel like all of that resonates with how I'm processing, where I feel like I'm like really fine tuning my unconscious and like releasing pain and like, you know. What was the other question? What would I change? I wouldn't change anything.
Wow. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what answers I was expecting, but I didn't expect you to say you wouldn't change anything.
I think because it's always changing. It's always changing. That's the design of it, which is a genius design. if you were able to like be the creator, it's a phenomenal design because you can change anything anytime. And how fast or how slow that happens is based off of you.
You know what so the answer you just had about what would you change, I was thinking like, I actually feel the same way. And then I was thinking about like what other people, depending on their mindsets, would say. My mind went through a whole array of answers. And one of them was like, oh, that's easy for you to say, you feel comfortable. And so a question I came up with off of that was like, what would I change? What would I want to change about the world when I'm feeling sad or lonely or upset or angry? And I think like that's actually a great question to heal or to like understand where you need to heal. I'm actually definitely going to reflect on that one. There's this book. Go ahead. Okay, I'll show you. There's this book called The Map of Stories. It's literally like right in front of my fucking foot. It's exactly what you just said. It's like you walk into another room, you're walking into a new story. And the alignment with that is just absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
Like I you feel said, like literally there's so many signs, so much information. Wherever you are, you can get an answer to whatever question you have because there's so much out there.
Yeah. And I feel like, I mean, I have been through some shit, you know, in all regards, in all ways. Like I've been through a lot of stuff. And I think despite that, it's taught me so much. And if anything has made me more soft and gentle, it hasn't hardened me, you know. And it's like, in order to, I don't feel like necessarily if I could pick a new life or like start over, I would. Ooh, that's a hard one actually. I would do it all again. If I had to do another go, like, okay, cool, that was cool, let's do it one more time just to move through it, I would be like, okay, then let's turn down the notches in many areas, you know. I would make it a lot smoother. But I feel like in order, especially in such a heavy world right now, in order to really understand the depths of light and to even see the light in heavier situations, we need to be down there. We need to understand them and not be scared of them. I don't feel like that means everybody has to go through a lot of traumatic stuff. You know, I feel like that's why there are some people that do and some people that don't, you know. It's, you know, we all have our own purpose here. But I feel like there's a lot to learn in seeing and experiencing that heavier stuff. Because at the core, everything is source energy. Everything is love. And when we can see the power behind anger and the nourishment in sadness or the community that comes from like going through something, just the reset that happens where it's like, hold on a second. When shit is at the surface, it's like, okay, this is not right. Let's reprogram ourselves so that this is no longer applicable because this is not okay. And we need to do something and we need to come together as humans and like do this for ourselves and our community and our children or whatever. It's just like it really sobers us and reconnects us to the fact that there's more than just the rat race and stuff like that. You know, it has a purpose. I feel like we are moving into a place where it's no longer about learning and having to go through the depths of hell in order to keep going. I feel like things are balancing out now, where we're now in a place of action. I feel like collectively we have an understanding of the bad side and what we don't want, to better understand what we do want more of and how to go about bringing that, you know. And I feel like now it's like putting it into action instead of going through tests and things like that. So I do feel like that is balancing out. But yeah, I feel like it is that chapter of life, you know, I feel like was important. It didn't have a purpose.
I love all of that so much. And something that always excites me to think about is, as things are becoming more balanced, especially, well, I mean, it's all within, so I'll say just that. As things are becoming more balanced, there's all just this like natural peace of mind and of being that comes in. We're able to see the light. And then what's particularly exciting about that for me is like but as that's happening, I'm increasingly able to use and to access and to embody not the parts of me that I love more, but it's like the parts of my nature, which the natural, yeah, my nature. So like my curiosity. Like for Michael's particular design, it's like the scientist aspects. And like what's so exciting about that is when you go into those situations of when you've been hurt in the past, or you have an experience that you associate with hurt, and you process through it and you see the light and you balance everything out, or as best as you can in that moment, you literally reclaim a part, or it's like the light that you find immediately becomes your light, like you, and then you're expanded completely. Mm-hmm. And what you said earlier, my mind's never gonna, I say that now, and I'm like, the irony of me saying this is, it's so fucking ironic. My mind's never gonna forget what you told me about the memory. It's like every time you recall a memory, it's different. Not like the memory is different, but it's like something about it is different.
The details are different. Yeah, it changes every time. Different.
And like, my mind's never going to forget that, but it's so ironic because my mind's going to change that, which is it forgetting it. So, yeah, it's so interesting. But every time you reclaim something, you become that light, and then literally life itself gets rebalanced. Like, not just you, but it's like, oh, somehow, maybe you, I'll take my case for an example. I did not have the best relationship with my mom. It's much better now, thank God. But as I reclaimed my light, and especially a lot of my masculine energy, like, it got balanced out. And here I was thinking like, oh, she's never gonna change. But that was just a reflection of me. Like, that was me saying, I'm never gonna change. And when I did, she did. And like, that's life. And what's like, I've kept like saying this over and over because it really is to me. What's so exciting about that is there is no limit to how much you can change. Whether it's because of hurt and you change that and reclaim the light, or you just follow what you're already curious about, or you just remember a memory differently, you're always changing. And I didn't think I'd say this, but like I really am. And I said it earlier, but now I really understand it. There is nothing about Earth that I would change. Like, even as bad as it could sound, like, everything has its purpose. Like the hurt, the crappy scenarios that I'm not going to get specifics with, like war, like famine, like all those things, obviously, like, I don't desire them to happen, but they've had their purposes, and they've brought us closer together. I mean, they don't need to happen again, pending we learn the lessons from them. Like, it's all beautiful. And they've all happened for, like, to really, for us to reclaim who we are. And for us to, like, whatever the bigger purpose is that I don't understand, to do that.
And yeah, I'm so I feel happy like about that. In answering your question, I was hesitant to answer that way just because I know that there is, I guess it's more self-conscious. I don't want to come across as like being insensitive or you know what I'm saying, but it's like it things happen, you know? It's like stuff happens, stuff is happening. That just is the fact of the matter. And there is so much power for us to do something and make sure it doesn't happen again or doesn't happen in that way. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just there's the thing about life on Earth are things just come up and smack you across the face. If there's something wrong, it comes up and smacks you across the face so you can fix it and you can come together. You can do whatever you got to do. And I feel like that is such a powerful, it's just such a powerful design. You know, and I feel like I think one, I'm very optimistic. I have a very optimistic mentality. And two, I'm somebody that like I take full responsibility of things that aren't even mine to take responsibility for, you know, but it's like I don't like thinking about like, oh, if only whatever. If only. It's like, no, this is the equation. And I see it. I see the potential. Like I get it. I get why it's designed this way. I understand, you know? So it's like, who am I to be like, oh, fuck that? Like, no, I get it. I understand the power behind it, you know? If we can just keep growing out of the shit, you know what I'm saying? Then it's like, that's so fucking good. It's so powerful, you
I
know?
just
It's like, if you even see, sorry, if you see like even
no,
people,
keep coming.
like with my family, there's a lot of trauma on both sides. And when you see families that have so much generational trauma, it just takes that one person to be like, no, you know? And it's so
Yes.
fucking, it's so good. The like, oh God, just the explosions of shifting that happens to the lineage and to feel like it's just so fucking good, you know? So that's why it's like, I'm not scared of shit because if you get through it and reclaim it, it's so, my God, it just, it's so good.
I absolutely fucking love what you're saying. Obviously, I agree with it. I wish I'm saying this so much because I wish I knew this. Obviously, I've gotten past it. You've gotten past it. This probably would have made it easier. If I had known back then how much benefit there was to breaking free, like more benefit, because I knew the benefits. It was like, oh, like I'll get to live my life. I'll have time freedom. I'll have financial freedom. I'll feel better. Like the more specific things, if I had known more of the benefits then that I am living or know of now, it would have been so much easier. Because like, yeah, all we've had to do, get to do, is literally just say like break through it, say no. Like, no, this is where it stops. It's gonna be different because I'm here. And like the benefits of that, and like granted, like I mean, we've lived lifetimes, both like as Michael and as Amber, and also as different names, I'll call it. We're also only just getting started. So like I don't even know anywhere close to the full benefits. Like 20 years from now, I could be flying and I'll be saying, I wish I knew back then that if I broke through family trauma, I'd be fucking flying in 20 years. So, like, I don't know what the full benefits are, but they're fucking amazing.
What's interesting, actually, I've had this thing recently where I feel a lot more passionate because before it was like I felt like I was just and I think this is an example of quantum leaping or an effect of it rather, but I used to have this feeling of like, okay, this lifetime I'm meant to get some work done so that when I leave, like, you know, it's like everything is good, it's a better place. And like, you know, I'm shifting the collective a specific way so that future generations, whatever. And I've had this mentality shift where it's like, no, we're shifting it so there is change right now, immediately, so I can enjoy it here with everybody else. You know what I'm saying? Like I'm here to change it now and really enjoy the benefits. So I feel like things are speeding up significantly. And I think, man, it's just, gosh, when you, life's like just shit, the shit from life, if you just surrender to it, there's an oracle card, actually. This has been coming up a lot. Let me reference it. I referenced it in the Matrix Part 2, Episode 2. This is from the Starseed Oracle, but it says, it's basically talking about not letting the weight and density of the world squash your spirit. Let the weight call your spirit home.
Wow.
Like, call it into your body at the center front of your life. When you allow yourself to crack open, when life cracks us open, it helps us grow in leaps and bounds and in ways we could only dream possible. Sometimes it hurts like hell. It's nature's way. Whether you let it happen or not, it's going to happen. So surrender to the process. It's how the light gets in. When your heart cracks open, a space is created for your soul to more fully enter. When your soul cracks open, a space is created for the grace of the Holy Spirit to enter. Let your trials, your sorrows, your pains, and your losses transform you into more and more of yourself. So I think it's important not to get so caught up and stuck in the shit. It's like, no, when there's shit, keep going, figure it out. It's not a dead end. You know, it's an opportunity for you to just crack open and let source energy steer you through something that you can't see through. You know, it's like an opportunity to surrender. And I feel like the more we do that and the quicker we do that, the less we even have to go into the shit, because we'll just be collaborating constantly with source energy. It's like the energy is balancing out higher and higher and higher, you know, so that full range of experience is no longer necessary, because mm-hmm. we've been there, done that, learned it. You know, now it's like fine tuning to make sure we keep going down a path that corresponds to that, like, pure love, you know, in a way that feels best for us.
That's so true. That's so wise. That's so true. So beautiful. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I love that oracle card. Do you want to do a reading?
Sure. Love like with that. The oracle cards?
Yeah. I don't know what your typical reading is, so do whatever.
Well, I don't usually use oracle like. Cards. I just channel information. But I'll pull a card just for fun. Why not? Did you have a specific question or just like whatever everybody needs to hear?
Yeah, that. What would benefit everybody the most to hear, including obviously us?
I love this deck. I'm getting two, maybe three cards. So these first two, I feel like I'm seeing this like sense of splitting. So on like two sides of a spectrum, but they're connected. It feels like yin and yang almost, where they're like opposite but connected. So I'm not sure if perhaps one plays on one part of like something somebody needs in one area and the other one is for something else. Not sure. But these two are the blue flame and messenger. So I'll start with the blue flame. This is what it looks like. It says spontaneous awakening, activation, integration time. Nice. Okay. This is a card of awakening and energetic upgrades. Perhaps you're going through a period of spontaneous awakening, receiving visions and having experiences that are out of the ordinary. In the West, little is known about the process of spontaneous awakening, and it can feel very scary when we're going through it alone. Elsewhere, they can be seen as auspicious experiences, with those going through them being treated with tender care. The blue beings are thought to be activating beings with great potential for healing and upgrading our cellular structures. They appear in moments of extreme awakening, activating a physical kundalini awakening and deep cellular and DNA healing. Many people glamorize the awakening process. However, in reality, it's much messier and more difficult than most of us believe. We must first let go of what we think we know for sure and how we make sense of the world. I feel like this is exactly what we were talking about. This isn't easy. The awakening process, even when it's spontaneous, takes a considerable amount of time to integrate, and awakening without integration can leave us feeling very ungrounded. If you're in the midst of an awakening, the process never ends. Treat this time as deeply sacred and give yourself ample space to ground and integrate the extreme changes you're going through. Okay, great. So I feel like that, yeah, that literally talks about what we were just talking about. And I feel like Oh gosh, in a lot of sessions lately, I feel like that the sense of a cellular shift or a transformation happening at the cellular level seems to be a lot more prevalent. So I feel like it's like this like inside out thing where people their our bodies are literally changing right now. With that, you may experience things like food sensitivity. There have been a lot of people with like intestinal issues, bloating, gas, digestion problems. This is all like almost a sense of detoxing in a way. Your cells are literally releasing the heavy stuff. Okay, and then our other card. So this will apply to, I guess, I don't know, it feels split. So it feels like another part of life or a specific aspect of yourself. Messenger, serious energy bringing harmony and balance. You're part of the lineage of souls who have dedicated their lifetimes to the upliftment of the planet. Look at that. We were just talking about
I love
that
this. So aligned.
to returning time and again to seed the light, the crystalline ones. The ones who are here to plant the sacredness of life back in, to honor both the sacred feminine and masculine, to usher deep reverence back in. Many ascended masters are thought to be connected to the energy of Sirius. Often appearing as a shade of blue, they hold the frequency of pure love and are here to help the masculine and feminine exist in harmony, to ensure greater balance, to help us see that we're all connected and that the masculine and feminine energies exist within us all. You're being called to bring about this balance and harmony between the masculine and feminine, to be a guardian of harmony and balance on Earth. Think of the whales traveling around the globe, sharing love through their healing vibrational song. Their unique notes send balance and harmony to every corner of the planet. That's so cool. I never thought about
I'm literally
that.
seeing your entire aura right now. It's blue. It's
I've
crazy.
been thinking about, I actually told my boyfriend last night, I wish that people could purr. Because I feel like purring, like cat purring, is so healing to hear, you know? Cool. A rebalancing of the masculine and feminine is occurring worldwide. It's a resurgence of the sacred within us all, a returning of the sacred union within, a rekindling of heaven and earth. You can begin to bring harmony and balance by creating it in your own life. The ripples will flow from there. You can honor and balance the sacred masculine and feminine energies within yourself and others. I feel like that also corresponds to like how we were talking because if you're a different part of me you're more masculine and I feel like we're having this conversation. This is cool. It's like a, you know what I'm saying, nice balance there, yin and yang.
This is, oh my God, I fully agree. Wow.
So yeah, definitely we're all shifting right now, but we're all also, it's like I guess it's almost like pinpointing the physical effects, but also the psychological. Physically, we're going through a lot of releasing. There's more emphasis on the detoxing and the discomfort, but it's like energetically, we're starting to find more balance, which is then like helping our physical bodies settle a little bit deeper. I think it's like when you feel good, just lean into that more. And when you're not feeling so good, be gentle with yourself. There may be a back and forth, you know?
I love that.
And then this
Yeah.
is a deeper, I don't know, this is just a third card that felt separate and like just something to keep in mind. Child of the cosmos, the intelligence of the universe lies within you.
That's
There is a
beautiful.
mysterious force that governs all of life, an intelligence that tells flowers when to bloom and the tides and seasons when to come and go. That intelligence is within you too. It was there before you drew your first breath, and it will be there well beyond your last. It's the part of you that informed every cell what to do when you were in your mother's womb. It's harder to resist this force than it is to surrender to it. Because Earth is a planet of polarity and free will, it's easy to forget that this intelligence exists within us. So often we become disconnected from this pulse of life and fall into the pattern of believing that we're separate or feeling that we need to go it alone. Which we were talking about. We can feel
All of it.
isolated and as if we need to figure things out for ourselves, to rely on our own strength. You're being called to remember the intelligence that's within each and every one of your cells, to remember you're a precious child of a loving, gentle universe, that you have access to all of the intelligence, wisdom, strength, flow, and qualities there ever were, are, or will be. And to remember that if flowers know exactly when and how to bloom, then you do too.
It's so heartwarming.
It was beautiful. I feel like that was all a perfect summarization of our conversation. The key takeaways.
Yeah, I'm speechless. I agree. Wow. I think like that just, yeah, that literally just read our conversation.
Yeah.
I don't, however long it was, like, and however long that took, I'll say it just read our conversation in three cards. The subconscious mind, it's all within you. It will be here before you go. Before you're here, after you go. One thing I want to say is the first card, the blue, the second card also mentions blue in the first card, which is a line.
Yeah.
That blue flame is, though, that's exactly how I see a time portal.
Oh, interesting.
Very interesting. And obviously, that's what we were talking about earlier. So it's just, of course, it's all aligned. Like, do I need to say more than that? It's all beautiful. It's all happening how it's meant to happen. And Michael's beautiful heart feels very happy right now. I feel like I always learn so much when we have a conversation. I've heard people say this about Burning Man, and I didn't really get it until right now. I feel like I need a day to integrate. That's being all very quick. I need like a month to integrate everything that I've learned here today, because I really believe like human beings have no limits, and I want to see, I am going to see how far we can go.
Yeah.
I know Peepo does a lot with the body, right? He does the body. And I know he's pushed himself a lot, like with outdoors, nature, diet. I wanna do like not more than that, but different things. Obviously that too, but like that's, I don't know. Maybe that's his concentration. Maybe that one day becomes mine. For right now it's not, but like something like it. And like he's a model for me about currently the knowledge that we can push our body with. So I don't know where I was going with that, but like I feel so fucking excited about this conversation.
Oh good. Yay. Yeah, this was fun. Thanks, friend. I always enjoy our conversations.
Me too. We'll talk soon, okay?
Yeah, sounds good. Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you so much, my friend, for coming back. I always love our conversations. I really appreciate just how curious you are and how much we can explore things. As always, I love having you here, so we'll definitely do another again. If you would like to get in touch with Michael, you can find him at ournewenergy.co and on YouTube at youtube.com/Michael Howes. The links for all of that stuff will be in the show notes, so go check him out, say hello, and I'm sending you love, my friends. I'll see you very soon. Thank you so much for listening to Diary of a Psychic Medium with me, Amber Amrine. To learn more about me, my work, and such, you can visit channelwithamber.com or follow me on Instagram at channelwithamber. A special thank you to Unicorn Heads for my theme song, A Mystical Experience. See you next time.